Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk podcast. Back in my home office tonight, not having to worry about any random kids screaming or anything. Back from Disney World. Chris is here with me, of course. Chris, how's it going today, man?
It's going.
Good. We've got a busy time of year for you, so always glad to get you on. We have a lot going on in Gov World, of course. Basketball stuff to talk about. You know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, like these shows are going to be a little different now than they were when it was just football. Now we're going to obviously – preview football like we always do, but we're going to recap the basketball that happened this week and then preview basketball for this weekend. So one more home football game. Can't believe it. It feels like the Morehead State game was like a week ago.
Like I was going to say that about the NTSU game. Feels like it was just a couple too. Weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it flew by. This fall has flown by. Chance to go perfect at home. That's always good. Yep. That's complete inverse of last year. So yeah. if you've paid money to come out to the fourth this year, you've gotten your money's worth. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. If you don't know, it's Samford, so it's not a UAC opponent or anything, but you still want to get a win coming into this game. Austin Peay is 6-4 overall, 4-3 in the UAC. Received votes in both polls, but not ranked. Samford, meanwhile, is 1-9 overall. They have not had a good season. They just they have an interim head coach. Chris told us on the last episode they have an interim head coach. Their coach got fired after, I think, 12 years. Something crazy. So they've got a new coach. They're going through a tough spell. Inside the series, this is the 10th all-time meeting. Samford leads 8-1. The last time we played each other, though, was 2007, and Austin Peay won that 28-25. You know, notably, Austin Peay is 2-1 in non-con games this season. So those two wins would be Morehead and MTSU, and then the loss is Georgia. If the Govs win, it would be a winning record for the 24th time in 89 seasons and the 6th time since 2017. It would be the 16th time in program history the team has won at least 7 games. And it would be the 9th time in program history that the team has won at least 5 conference games. So that, you know, that's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Govs by the numbers this week. The first number is 2. With 18 passing and 12 rushing touchdowns, Chris Parson is the second quarterback in APSU history with double-digit passing and rushing touchdowns in a season, joining Sonny DeFilippis, who did it in 1980. So that's pretty impressive company. I mean, we've had some pretty solid quarterbacks, especially over the last, like, 8 years. We've had some really good quarterback play. And for Parson to be the first to have double digits in rushing and passing, that's kind of surprising. 8.1 is the next number. Montrez Smith Jr. has recorded 57 of his 64 tackles and 3 double-digit tackle games in 7 UAC contests. He's averaging 8.1 tackles per game in UAC play. Absolute beast. And number 30, With 30 touchdowns this season, Chris Parson is the third player in Austin Peay history to be responsible for 30 or more touchdowns in a season, joining fellow quarterbacks Javon Craig in 2019 and Mike DiLello in 2023. Javon Craig was so fun. So was DiLello. But
yeah, a lot of people might forget Craig was backup that year.
Was it Oatesville?
Yeah, Oatesville was actually named the starter, and I think he got hurt two, three games in. And then Javon come in and just literally took over.
Yeah, that was a fun year. Pretty much every year post-2016 has been pretty fun. Okay, let's go here. So, Samford, a little bit about Samford, because, you know, this is a non-con team, so a lot of our viewers probably don't know much about them. So, they went 4-7 last year. We talked about it. Me and Chris talked about it. They had a game canceled because of a hurricane, so they only played 11 games. They were projected to finish fifth in their conference this year, so they were projected to finish pretty decent. But instead, they've been pretty terrible. They're 1-9 overall, and they relieved their head coach of his duties after 11 seasons. So they're having a rough go of it. But they are really, really good. This is going to surprise you, Chris. I don't know if you got this far yet, but they actually have the 6th-ranked passing offense in the entire FCS. So, like, they don't ever win, but they throw for a ton of yards, probably because they're losing by a lot every game. But they're averaging 289 yards per game through the air, which is pretty impressive. They're also 5th in the SoCon in total offense. So their passing offense is something to watch. Their running offense, not so much. Defense, you know, they're towards the bottom of the SoCon in pretty much every category. Here's an interesting little tidbit. Former Austin Peay running back C.J. Evans is a grad student at Samford after spending last year at Tennessee State. He's their leading rusher, 227 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also has 18 catches for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. Do you remember him?
I do. Yeah, I had no idea he was at Samford. No.
I did not either.
And completely forgot. Yeah, I completely forgot he went to TSU, and to this day, that's a confusing decision, but whatever.
It is weird. I mean, yeah. So he spent 4 seasons at Austin Peay, had over 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns, so back in his old stomping grounds.
Yeah, it'll be kind of cool to see him back, just in a different uniform.
So, stats comparison. Total offense. Austin Peay is averaging 448 yards of offense still. Samford is at 362, which is pretty respectable. Rushing offense, this is Austin Peay averages 188 yards per game on the ground. Samford averages just 74.2, which has got to be near the bottom of the FCS. And passing offense, so Austin Peay leads the UAC still, 260 passing yards a game, but Samford averages 288. So Samford actually averages more passing yards per game than we do. Total defense, I mean, their defense gets gashed every single week. They're allowing 462 yards a game. That's CP3 needs to hear that and start salivating, because that ain't good. Austin Peay still, this might surprise some people. Austin Peay still has the best rush defense in the UAC, allowing 126.9 yards per game. And then turnover margin. They turn the ball over a lot more than we do. They're almost -2 in turnover margin, while we're still hanging around even. Austin Peay also still has the best red zone offense and still leads in time of possession. So pretty interesting there. So scoring defense, they're allowing 38 points a game, which again, it's got to be near the bottom of the FCS. While they're only averaging 16 points per game. So they average 16, give up 38. So that you ain't gonna win a whole lot of games. Sacks allowed. This is another thing that I'm sure I'll hit on again later. They're allowing almost 5 sacks per game, which again, it's got to be the worst or one of the worst marks in the country. And they allow 8.7 tackles for loss a game. So their offensive line is not good. They do not have they're not very good on the lines of scrimmage. And they don't get very many sacks either. So pretty clear statistical advantages here and almost everything. Last time these teams met, Chris, I don't know if I was a little young for this, but you'll probably remember 2007, October 20th, 2007 was the last game. And Samford led three to, this is crazy. So Samford led Austin Peay 3-0 at halftime the last time we played, right? And then Austin Peay outscored them 28-22 in the second half. So like nobody could move the ball at all in the first half, and then just explodes for 50 points in the second half. So that's interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. I mean, Govs had a good year that year. I think that was their first year back on scholarship football, if I'm not mistaken. And had a pretty good first year back doing that. And saw a note here that Chris Fletcher, now APSU Hall of Famer, carried 16 times for 171 yards and 3 touchdowns, and averaging 10.7 yards per carry. So that's not surprising. Fletcher was a beast.
Yeah, much deserved. So, like we said, the last five meetings, hadn't gone too well. This one did go, the last time it did go well, though. So, Austin Peay versus the state of Alabama has not done very well either. 31-53-4 all time against teams from Alabama. 10 of those wins have been against North Alabama, though, so suck it.
Yeah,
Okay, here we
and
go.
that's not going to help your cause when you got a lot of losses to Jacksonville State.
Exactly. All right, and then looking at the last five times we've played the SoCon. So we basically play the SoCon. We play at least one team from the SoCon every year, pretty much. If you look at in 2024, we lost to Chattanooga. And then in 2023, we lost to Chattanooga in the playoffs. And that game pissed me off so bad. I was on the field for that game, and that was anyway, we lost to a freaking backup quarterback. That was bad. Then we beat ETSU in 2023. Absolutely destroyed them. Do you remember that?
I do.
63-0.
I do.
And then in 2021, we beat number 18, Chattanooga. And in 2019, in the playoffs, destroyed Furman 42-6. All
I remember we
right.
had a nice rain and storm delay in that game.
2019 was a great year.
Was definitely a fun one. And
Let's see here.
if I'm not mistaken, I think that Chattanooga win in 2021 was an opening was on a Thursday night, first game of the year at Chattanooga.
Yeah, it was September 2nd. So it was right at the beginning. So, corners. DeAndre Creary, by the way, at corner, he's listed as a starter again. He's been playing pretty well. He has 10 tackles and 2 pass breakups over the last few games. So Creary's he had that big fourth down pass breakup last week. So he's going to be staying in the lineup, it looks like. Let's see here. Did you notice that we had a, you know, punters deserve love too. Did you notice that we had a punter change?
Yeah. No, I did not realize that.
So Gavin started.
But you're the right. They do need the love.
Gavin Myers started the season. Like the first few games, it was Gavin, and they made the switch to Leftrick, who I think has done pretty well. And you know, he's from Springfield High, so it's always cool to see.
Somewhat of a local kid.
Yeah. And then let's see here. We had. Yeah, with Creary though, I don't know what the deal, what was the decision in that, but Raylan Manley had been starting opposite Ellis, and it looks like Creary is the full-time starter there with Manley backing up now. So, other than that, everything looks to be the same. Yeah, we still have not had a single rusher go over 100 yards. I think this might be the week we can do that, though. And then Chris Parsons' best passing game was West Georgia, 346 yards. And then the best receiving game is still Jaden Robinson at EKU when he had 145 yards. But Shamar Kirk did have 144 last week, so he almost beat that. Shamar's been on a tear lately.
Sorry. Yeah, I think like four touchdowns in the last two games.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm like you, though. I would love to see a 100-yard rusher.
I know. Like and this – I mean, you got to think this is probably your last chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it to, you know, I'd love it to be somebody, you know, no offense to Parsons, obviously, but I'd love for it to be a running back if I had to be picky. But with the stats that you ran by a few minutes ago, CP3 ought to have a field day with this defense.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if we'll even – so, I mean, Javius Bond is – he's come pretty close a couple times, but, like, Cortland Simmons – he had 81 against North Alabama. Isaiah Groves had 71. But, yeah, Chris Parson and Javius Bond have been – had the best rushing performances. All right, so Samford, what has been – what's their season looked like so far? So
– not very good.
No. I think people like to see – because we have some common opponents. Well, we have one common opponent. I think people like to see this, though, to kind of know what to expect. So, in the season opener, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is the second year in a row they opened the season against West Georgia, right? And they got killed both times.
Correct.
Yeah, so they played West Georgia back in August and lost 34-3. Then they got killed by the Citadel. Then they got killed by Baylor. Then they got beat pretty bad by West Carolina. Pretty bad by Furman. Pretty bad by Mercer. And then they did beat VMI, the Virginia Military Institute, if you didn't know. And guess what? They beat them by 2, and VMI is also 1-9. So, not the most impressive win. Then they got killed by Chattanooga. They lost to Wofford, and they got killed by East Tennessee State.
And if you're curious, VMI's one win was against somebody named Ferrum.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's a real school.
So, not a very good – yeah, VMI might be having a worse season than Samford if that's imaginable.
Let me just go ahead and say this. If Austin Peay somehow found a way to stumble into a loss against the Samford team, That would be probably the most embarrassing loss that I've ever seen. And that is saying a lot.
Yeah. I don't think we're I don't think that I don't think
I'm not even gonna problem. Entertain it. No.
No. No. It's I think you know, like we said a few minutes ago, CP3 ought to have a field day, and usually if CP3 has a good day, the entire Gus team has a good day. So yeah. I think a Gus victory will looks pretty good.
I think so too. So we don't have to spend too much time analyzing it because this is an opponent that is it's down. They're not having a great season at all. You should dominate this game. You're at home where you tend to dominate. Let's just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. Final score predictions?
Well, I went big last week and, you know, tonight didn't go the way that I don't think anybody expected. Man, I'd like to go big this week, but I don't know if I want to go big 2 weeks in a row. But I'll do 41-10.
Okay. Yeah. So like a Moorhead type.
Yeah.
It's like a Moorhead type game. I'm going to go. I think they want to put up – it's senior day. I think, which by the way, everybody should get out there because it's senior day. These a lot of these guys, it's their last home game. Even the guys that aren't seniors could be a lot of their last games at the fort, unfortunately. So I think they're gonna want to put on a show. I'm gonna go 56-13.
And I think the weather's supposed to be nice on Saturday.
Yeah, it is. So. Nice fall day. No rain. Should be good.
Yeah. So hopefully the Gov Nation shows up. Send these seniors out the right way.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's go over to some hoops. How's that?
Sounds good. Always down to talk a little hoop.
So let's talk about the ladies first. Show the ladies some love. So you know, you had a game against Vanderbilt at the bank, and it was close. I mean, it was a 3-point game at the half. You had final score 65-75. I mean, you only lose by 10 to a ranked SEC team. I think that's pretty impressive.
Definitely respectable.
Michaela Blake's for Vandy's one of the best players in the country. And, you know, that was always going to be a hard test. For the Govs, you had Kyra Perkins off the bench leading the way with 16 points. Verinay Charlton had 13. Anovia Shields had 11. And Ines Nahor had 11 as well. So not solid little performance, you know, like you gotta, I don't think many people expected them to win this game, but to make it close at home, you know, pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, they kept the respectable. And then the whole game, third quarter was kind of the, you know, kind of the quarter that kind of haunted them a little bit.
Yeah, that was the separation right there.
Yeah. But, you know, looking at stats, I mean, you know, they got out-rebounded pretty badly. But when you got somebody on the other side that's 6'6", and most of our girls, I think, are just, you know, most of them, I think, are over 6 foot, that's gonna have an advantage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I think and that kind of shows in the second chance points to 14 to Gus 7. But other than that, I mean everything looks respectable. Points in the paint was 32-28. Vandy had the edge on that, and then Gus took advantage of the turnovers, 22 points off turnovers to Vandy's 13. So,
Had more bench points too.
yeah, more bench points. So, I mean, I
More
don't think
fast
you could,
break points.
I don't think you could ask for a better effort from the Gus. So, there's no moral victories, obviously, but I think they can. I think they'll watch film in this game and be satisfied with what they put out.
They definitely should. I mean, there's nothing to hang your head about. And, you got another home game this weekend on Sunday against the team that you probably think you have a pretty good shot to beat. So, Indiana State. So, I think hopefully they can build off of this and, get some good wins early on in the season.
Yeah, that'd be good for them. And I was thinking the other day, the last couple of years I've been pretty harsh on the women's program, rightfully so. But maybe they're turning a tide here. So they definitely earned a lot of respect last night.
They did, and it's definitely a better season than they started last. It's a better start than last year.
Yeah, I just like to see the offensive output because the last couple of years they've kind of gone from, where they win or lose a lot of games and only scoring in the 40s or 50s. So it's nice to see them score some, especially against a top 25 team,
Well, I mean,
SEC team.
think of it this year, like last year, I think this year's Vanderbilt women are supposed to be better than their team last year. And last year they absolutely dog walked us like by 50
Oh,
points.
yeah, I remember that.
So you lose by 50 last year, 55 actually, and you only lose by 10 this year. I mean, like you said, there's no moral victories, but that's pretty impressive, I think. That should show you the steps that are being taken. And I mean, even if you want to compare the first game, like the kind of meaningless game, they lost to Bethel last year, man. Like they lost to Bethel. And then in their first game this year, they almost broke a program record for points. So I don't think you can be down at all. I think this is, like you said, your criticisms were valid in the past, but it definitely does seem like they've switched some things up, and it seems like the trajectory is going forward. So,
Yeah, looking forward to Sunday. If I got some time, I might try and slide over and watch.
yeah, we need to get some more people out there. They did have a better crowd this time, but that's because there's an SEC team out there. We need to get, hopefully, once conference play starts, we'll get some good crowds for them because they're deserving it so far.
And since we're speaking of the women's team, I have to give a little shout to Janai Newell. She came and watched my boys play last week at Kirkwood, so told her I'd give her a shout on the podcast next time we talked about
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
So appreciate her coming through, and we'll probably, like I said, slide out there Sunday afternoon and check out some basketball.
That's awesome. All right. So now we'll go over to the men. So we kind of talked about it last time. You had the big 20-point win over Air Force, which was impressive. And then Tuesday was the game against Wyoming. And it did not go as great. You lost by 14. It was 65 to 79 in Laramie. I'll get your thoughts on that in just a second. You had, who led the one? You had Zyree Collins led the scoring. Collins, McCubbin, Parker, and Robinson all were in double digits. Kind of the thing that really kind of hurt you. Wyoming's bench. Wyoming had 44 bench points. Their Uriah Rojas kind of was a one-man show for them. He had 23 off the bench. It kind of ended up being the difference.
Yeah, that was I just noticed that myself. 44 points. That's it's almost half your points. Yeah, that thought the Govs played pretty well. I think they had one little cold streak where Wyoming went on a little run, and that ended up being the difference.
Yep.
But I think from what Coach Gibson was saying after the game, that he was pleased with their effort, and Ja'Cory coming off the bench and getting 13 points. I mean, that was huge. Your only problem was your opponent was scoring half their points from the bench.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, obviously you want to get the win, but I kind of like what we said with the women. I think you can take a lot. I think you can take a lot out of this game.
Well, I mean, when you look at it, points in the paint was very similar. Points off turnovers was similar. Fast break points, second chance points. It was all very similar. It really was like, their one player kind of took over. Looking at 3-point shooting, again, it needs to be better. I mean, you're not going to win games when you're only hitting 20% from deep. And the free throw shooting needs to be a little bit better, you would think. 70% from the charity stripe and then 35% from the field it's not going to cut it.
No, you know, I'm big on free throws. You lose the game by 14, but only missed 7 free throws. You'd like to see that up, a little bit better. But like you said, your 3-point percentage and field goal percentage need not gonna win too many doing shooting 35 and 22%. So yeah, we'd like to see some improvement on that.
Well, and how much are you going to, like, how often is Anton Brookshire gonna lay a goose egg, Like that's probably not gonna happen too often. It was just kind of an off night.
Yeah, Coach Gibson actually mentioned him in the post game having some problems with that the air up there and having some issues with that. So yeah, definitely an off night for Anton.
Well, you
I'm
said there was some what?
he was having issues. What do you call it? The air up there is different. I'm half
Oh,
asleep.
the
I'm half
elevation.
asleep. Yeah, elevation. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
that is
Sorry.
a thing. That is definitely a thing. Like if you've ever been out there,
I haven't.
yeah, like it is definitely noticeable. Like I was in a hotel out there a couple years ago and like walking up the stairs, you're like out of breath, and it does take some getting used to.
You
I mean,
can delete
again
that
though,
part then.
like the women, I mean, you're not gonna overreact to this though. I mean, it's an early season non-con game against a Wyoming team that hasn't lost yet. Move on in advance. You move on, live to fight another day. They will be back on the court
Tomorrow, I think.
tomorrow. No, Saturday. The same.
Saturday.
Wow, that's actually crazy. So they actually are going to play the same time as the football team.
Yeah, I think I heard Brian Reese say on the post game that there would be no broadcast for the basketball game. But hopefully, unlike the last two games, we can get on ESPN Plus and be able to watch it.
Dude, I mean, yeah, it's like flipping a freaking coin whether that shit's gonna work. I mean,
Well, it amazed me. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it amazed me
no.
the last two games in 2025. The last two games we have not been able to stream that
I
game, either one of
know.
those games. And
I
just
know, dude. It's ridiculous. And it's like the biggest company on earth can't figure out how to point a camera.
So, but
So.
anyways, hopefully we get some kind of streaming, and we can be at Forterra watching the Govs and watching basketball on on ESPN Plus.
So UNC Greensboro has been to the tournament two of the last 7 years. So they're a pretty solid team. Although this year they're not looking too good.
Yeah, I'm trying to find their what they've done so far. Let's see.
So they lost to – I mean, granted, only one of these games they should have won, but they got killed by Kansas State. Then they lost to Elon in overtime. And then they got killed by NC State. So yeah. –
So they'll be hungry for a win. Is what we're looking for.
They played two really good teams, and they lost a game they shouldn't have lost at home. So, not going to roll over.
Be the one of first of back to back games versus ASUN opponents, starting Saturday as well. They play at Queens on Thursday. Yep.
So little in state matchup for them. A lot of people think Queens is in New York, but.
Well, a lot of people think we're in Austin, Texas as well, so.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, you want to know something cool?
All right.
So, I was at, this morning, I was at Disney Springs in Orlando, and this guy, I was wearing my Austin Peay hat all week, and this guy came up to me when I was in line at Starbucks. And he was like, "Did you go to Austin Peay?" And I was like, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said he graduated from Austin Peay 20 years ago. Oh, and wow. He lives in Philadelphia now. But he grew up in Clarksville, and he went to Austin Peay. So wow. his name was Micah. So, Micah, if you're listening to this, what up, bro? Yeah. Thought that was cool. Yeah. Govs are everywhere.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story there.
All right, anything else you want to hit? We got – Saturday's a big day. Got a basketball and a football game at the same time.
Yeah.
Are you gonna be in attendance at the football game?
Yeah. Yeah, I plan on running a 5K on Saturday morning. And
that's right.
Then I plan on getting there after I get dressed and cleaned up. So, yeah. I think it's the weather. I think the weather is supposed to be pretty good. Pretty nice day, next couple of days. So I was looking it up here. Yeah, Saturday, a high of 72.
Nice. So
I would imagine it'd be right around that time of kickoff would be the high. So, yeah.
We didn't even really have any freezing cold games.
And I'll take it every year.
I know. It's awesome. All right. Well, anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
I can't think of anything right off the top. No. Looking forward to Saturday. Should be a fun day. Hopefully we can get two Govs wins.
Yep, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people out there too.
And I do remember what I was going to say. A shout out to our guy Roland. Big signing day class.
He
was all over the Twitter yesterday with all the signings. So he DM'd me a few, but Elon changed the DM stuff, so I didn't get it until just earlier today. But
I know, me too. Yeah, same thing.
So, but I did retweet all the stuff that he had put out and the baseball camp put out. So sounds like a good class.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that being said, let's get out of here. We'll be back Sunday night to record the recap from the Saturday action and preview the week ahead. All right. Let's go, P.
Let's go, P.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need, with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.